Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Radio, where we believe that words are important. Of course, around here, the most important words are personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am, as always, your host, the Chief, coming to you as most shy Trump voters around here are from a hidden bunker in an undisclosed location somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. If you'd like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. Well, okay, anything going on in the news? No? Well, maybe a couple things. I guess I want to start off with we now have Justice Amy Coney Barrett. She was confirmed in the Senate last night and sworn in the White House shortly thereafter by Justice Clarence Thomas. And so it is now all official, a done deal. If there's anything going on in the Supreme Court today, Justice Barrett is on the bench. So, done deal. Now, of course, immediately following all of that, the leftists went totally apoplectic. I mean, they've been doing that, you know, since, you know, before Ruth Bader Ginsburg was cold. But, all right. What are they saying? First off, I guess I'll start off with, this is terrible. President Trump is politicizing an event. I mean, this is not supposed to be political, swearing in at the White House. And okay. Every justice has been sworn in at the White House following their confirmation. I mean, including Ruth Bader Ginsburg stood there next to Bill Clinton and took the oath of office. There's nothing political about it. It is standard operating procedure. So get that out of the way. But now they're still going on with what they've been talking about for the last few weeks. Should we pack the court? Let me see here. Tweet from yesterday, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, expand the court. Ilhan Omar, expand the court. Glad to see they've got their talking points right. Omar also mentioned that, remember that Republicans have lost 6 of the last 7 popular votes, but have appointed 6 of the last 9 justices. By expanding the court, we can fix this broken system and have the court better represent the blah, 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 blah. Senator Ed Markey from Massachusetts expanded. Yeah, they're all saying that. Really interesting. Oh, here, I got to read Michael Moore. He had a nice tweet here. I mean, he must have counted the number of characters he could put in the tweet. His tweet was all written kind of like in stanzas, whack the court, pack it, stack it, frack it, smack it, shellack it, clack it, knick-knack and paddywhack it, crack it open, shack it up, rack it. Yes, it's a racket. Black it, brown it, green it, blue it, expand it, term limit it, fix it now. Yeah, okay. But here, let me see, going down, probably the guy by the name of Tommy Ahonen. To call it packing the court is Republican propaganda terminology. Let's not use that term. Say we are expanding the court, which is what we will do. So the phrase is expanding the court or to expand the court. Yeah, they want to do this. Okay. My thoughts on that. Well, I guess we're going to find out in a week from today or a little later, maybe, depending on how it goes, how long that narrative is going to last. If Biden wins, we are going to hear it incessantly, no matter what happens to Congress. Even if they don't possibly have the vote, they're going to demagogue this issue as long as they can. However, comma, on the other hand, what if Trump should actually win the election? The Democrats are going to deny that they ever even brought it up. It will not only go away, it will be scrubbed from history. The Ministry of Truth, also known as the mainstream media, will completely forget they ever said it. And if anybody brings it up, you will get the stupid looks. They're just going to pretend it was never even brought up. At least, you know, not for 4 years. You won't hear it. But it occurs to me, what happens if, say, Trump wins the election, the Democrats retain the Senate, take the House? Maybe the Republicans should possibly bring it up. Hey, what do you think? Now, you see, the reason I mention this or suggest it is a few days ago, Senator Ted Cruz from Texas introduced a constitutional amendment, very short, just the number of Supreme Court justices shall be set at 9, words to that effect. Just end any talk of possibly packing the court, expanding the court, anything like that. And I think with all the ranting and raving that's been going on, that just might be a good idea. Just put it to rest. Expanding the court is not popular with the majority of people, even people who aren't too happy. They actually believe in this stupid idea that maybe, you know, elections have consequences, and if we can't get our guy in who will give us the kind of court we want, maybe we should try harder to win the election. You know, silly ideas like that. Funny how silly Americans can be sometimes. But if the Republicans start talking about expanding the court when it would be expanded to their advantage, the Democrats will go nuts. And this constitutional amendment might even get through. I mean, it's not easy to amend the Constitution. It shouldn't be. I think it's like 2/3 of both houses of Congress and 3/4 of the states. but the way things have been going, it might have a, it might actually happen if Trump wins the election. Yeah, could happen. Especially if Trump wins the election, the Republicans keep the House, but the Republicans keep the Senate, and the Democrats keep the House. It could really happen. So that's that. Now, the next thing I want to talk about, and that's kind of the title of the show. A couple days ago, there was a video all over, at least the conservative sites, showing Joe Biden, who said, well, we have the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization. That was played the, you know, as though Joe Biden was admitting that the Democrats are engaged in voter fraud. Not saying they're not, but okay. What did we see? I even saw this about a 20-some second video played on, you know, even some sites that, you know, I tend to feel are reliable. Now, right now, I'm going to play some audio from what we heard. Here's what Joe Biden had to say.
Did a fraud minister, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. What the president...
Okay. Now... That's what Joe Biden had to say, according to what I've been seeing all over the place. Now, when I first saw that and I was having discussions with my friends, thinking, okay, this was a Freudian slip. He probably meant to say something like, we have the most extensive voter turnout organization, something like that. But, of course, you know, for the Democrats, voter turnout and voter fraud, that's, those are kind of synonymous terms. So, yeah. But, you know, I looked at the video, and you can see he was talking from – he had his notes, and – he didn't even act as though he realized that he had said that. And I just got suspicious. So what I did was I spent a couple minutes, and that's about as much as it took, looking around to find a little more context, a clip that would maybe – show what he said before that, what he said after that, because, you know, that 20-some second video that we all looked at, that didn't quite get it. And so I found a, oh, I think about a 1 minute 17 second clip. I found it on Washington Free Beacon. There's a link to it on the show notes. But, that's what I was playing, but I stopped it where everyone else is. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to back it up a few seconds, and I'm going to play the rest of the audio.
Fraud organization in the history of American politics. What the president is trying to do is discourage people from voting by implying that their vote won't be counted. It can't be counted. We're going to challenge it and all these things. If enough people vote, it's going to overwhelm the system. You see what's happening now. You guys know it as well as I do. You see the long, long lines in early voting. You see the millions of people have already cast a ballot. And so don't be intimidated. If, in fact, you have any problem, go to, and I don't have the number, but it's 833-DEM-VOTE. the letters D-E-M-V-O-T-E. Call that number. We have over 1,000 lawyers. Over 1,000 of them will answer the phone. If you think there's any challenge to your voting, go to 833-DEM-VOTE. Dial those letters on your phone. That will get you the assistance that we have already put in place. Thirdly,
okay, so that is what Joe Biden said with a little more context. Now, what did he say? What I heard was he was just regurgitating the points that President Trump and the Republicans are engaged in voter suppression. And, you know, what he said, I don't think he said it very well, but it was the same old talking points. But to me, at least, he was very clearly not admitting to engaging in voter fraud. He was saying what they've been saying, trying to, you know, get people to turn out legitimately. And what did we see? The conservative media basically did to Joe Biden exactly what the leftist media has been doing to Donald Trump since before the last election. I mean, just a few days more than a year ago, we had the Access Hollywood tape October surprise, where they said that they spun it to make it sound like Trump was admitting to doing exactly what Joe Biden has been somewhat credibly accused of by Tara Reid of doing. I watched the entire tape, the video. I know what Trump was talking about. I know the context of what he was saying at that time. It was blown. What he said was misconstrued. There was no context. I'm not going to go over all the context that I got, but he didn't admit to doing anything. It was a stupid guy talk joke. And as you know, I was in the Navy for 20-some years. I know about stupid guy talk jokes. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's probably only fair, you know. Remember Michelle Obama used to say, when they go low, we go high. And, of course, what she meant is, when they go low, we go lower. Well, sure. Okay, they're getting a taste of their own medicine here. But things like this, when you see something obviously edited to remove the content, to change the meaning of what somebody said, it calls a lot of things into question. Last week I talked about all the Hunter Biden revelations, and I said, I don't know. Looks bad, but is it for real? Or do we have a lot of selectively edited, out of context sort of things? Now, since then, I have seen nothing to indicate that that information is not factual. That Bobulewski guy came out on camera, on the record, and said, yeah, I was there, and I know this stuff is real. So there it is. But still in all, when you see people on either side obviously editing things, obviously trying to make it sound as though somebody said something that they clearly were not saying, kind of calls into question a whole lot of things. Okay. Enough about that. Now, since have just 10 minutes left of this until Election Day. I guess I should start out right now saying my general plan is I probably won't do a show next week. I could change that depending on how I feel, but it occurred to me a couple weeks ago. Next Tuesday is Election Day. We all know that. Wouldn't be much point in talking about anything else, but still in all, wouldn't be much point about talking about the election. I mean, anybody, you know, few people that might be listening to this show live, if they haven't made up their minds, you know, by they're not going to get anything from me. So I may do a show, especially if something happens or some bizarre thought goes through my mind, but seems kind of foolish in a way to talk about the election on Election Day, but it also seems kind of foolish to talk about anything else. But by next Tuesday, you know, anything I might say, by the time anybody listens to this after the fact, it will be overcome by events. So I don't know. But in the little time I have left, I just want to talk a little bit about what I think might happen in the election. I'm not going to make any predictions. I don't know. But the only thing I might go out on a limb as what might happen is I just don't see any way that Biden wins in a landslide. Might very well win in a close election. Might very well win close enough that, yeah, all the votes that are going to be found in Bob's basement and Gertrude's garage and all that might be broken out and come into play. He could win that way. Trump could win in a close election and then lose when the strange votes come out. Or I don't see it as totally impossible that Trump wins in a massive landslide. That is possible. There is a little bit of history in this, because if you look at, I don't have to read the history. I can just go back as far as I can remember, because as I occasionally mention here, I'm kind of old and can remember quite a while, but the first election I remember was in 1960, and we had had 8 years of Dwight Eisenhower. He was the first person I remember as being the president at the time. I remember back when I was a little kid, I knew George Washington, and I remember I asked somebody, I was talking about something to my mother, and I said, well, who's the president now? And she said Eisenhower, and that was like the first time I ever heard his name. But we had 8 years of Eisenhower, then 8 years of John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson. Now, I guess the point I'm making is there's kind of 8 year cycles. After Johnson, we had 8 years of Nixon and Ford. Now, Johnson originally had planned to run for re-election, but he, due to problems, what was going on, he just decided to retire, not stand for re-election. He was having trouble in the primaries. So that was that. In 1972, Nixon won a massive landslide victory, even though he didn't. The media was as against him then as the media was against Trump or is against Trump now. Immediately on Inauguration Day, the entire Vietnam War was Nixon's fault. That's the way it was portrayed. And, of course, those of us who had been awake prior to Election Day knew that it was Johnson that did it. But, okay, we had that. Now, the first time I remember that a president who stood for re-election did not win was Gerald Ford. But with all the Watergate and everything going on, he was very crippled, and we had had 8 years. The eight-year cycle had continued. So, Jimmy Carter. Now, this was the first time I remember the cycle being broken. But, you know, Jimmy Carter, yeah. It did not help him that Election Day in 1980 was 1 year to the day after the Iranians seized our embassy and took our hostages. So, but that was a break in the cycle. Then we had 8 years of Reagan, followed by 4 years of Bush. Bush did stand for re-election. He was defeated. That was the last time an incumbent president was defeated in an election. But, you know, that was kind of a strange situation with Ross Perot and all that. But nonetheless, after that, it kind of put the eight-year cycle back into place. Instead of 8 years of Carter and 8 years of Reagan or Bush, we had 4 years of Carter. We saw the 12 years. Then we had 8 years of Bill Clinton, 8 years of George W. Bush, 8 years of Barack Obama. And, of course, Reagan won in his election a huge landslide. Clinton and Obama and Bush, even though Bush was pilloried by the media, the same as Trump is, he won rather comfortably, as did Clinton, as did Obama. So the history is on President Trump's side here. I don't know. The motivations this time, I don't know, because 4 years ago, I made a video explaining why I was voting for Trump, and I made it pretty clear. It was primarily vote against Hillary Clinton. This time, I voted for Trump. I turned in my ballot yesterday. In Oregon, we only have mail-in voting, no polling places. But I think I actually... as much as a vote against Biden and all the radicals, it was a vote for Trump. I could do that. So, I don't know. That's people. I think the reason Hillary Clinton lost was, well, even the people who were voting for her did not have that much enthusiasm. Some people were voting against Trump. There were a lot of people just didn't have the enthusiasm. Now the enthusiasm for people voting against Trump is at least as strong as the enthusiasm was 4 years ago for people voting against Clinton. So I do not know how this is going to come out. But I certainly hope that... President Trump wins re-election. I did read just a few minutes before I came on a little tweet. The Boston Herald endorsed Trump's re-election. I mean, Boston. Now, I don't know how many newspapers. I think that's like the biggest paper in the city, so I don't know. But that could be a big deal if someone in Boston can even come out and say they support President Trump. So, that's it. I am just about out of time here, so maybe I'll be back next week. Maybe probably not, but I do intend either way to be back in 2 weeks, talk about what happened, and I am out of here.